Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. This is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network coming to you live. And I just saw Henrietta came off the call, so she'll be back momentarily. Just want to welcome you. And tonight's show is going to be about the male perspective. So I've asked a couple of my buddies to call in. I don't know if they will, and I know that Henrietta has also done that. So, so we'll. I think we're going to have an interesting call tonight. If we get the brothers to participate, if not, then it'll be me sharing. That's okay too. Because I definitely am opinionated, as a few of my friends would tell me. And that's saying it nicely, I might add. So, oh, there's Henrietta. Hey, Henrietta.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. I saw you disappear. You probably went to log on as the host, and I was coming in.
Right.
So, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
December 2nd, 2012. And who we be?
We be the International Black Summit Talk Show Network.
That's right. That's right.
And we are moving into the holiday season again. This is like our favorite time of the year. Our favorite shows where people just come hang out with us and tell us stories about their experiences and sing if they have a favorite holiday song and talk about food and stress and whatever. I went to church today, Glenn, and I asked I saw three guys who work on security, and I told them about the show. I said, we want to hear a male perspective of how you feel about the holiday. And they all just looked at me like, I said, you know, like how many times you go to the store and how many times you just say, no, I'm not going back to the store. We want to hear your perspective.
Or I'm not decorating that damn tree.
Okay. Not doing it. Yeah. So with all things, though, with the International Black Summit, you know, we live, breathe, and have our being in our declaration. And we'll start off again and ask everyone to listen to see where you find yourself in the declaration of the International Black Summit. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Chicago, Illinois, December 2nd, 2012. Jamaica, Queens, New York, December 2nd, 2012. North, south, east, west, above, below, within. A moment of silence, please. And thank you. So that's the declaration. If you never heard it before, you can go to blacksummit.org. It's right there, and you can read it over and over and over again. And that's what we are about, unpredictable results. And we're just wondering if this holiday season, man can experience unpredictable results. And I know people are probably saying, well, what about the women? But we're just focused on men this evening just to put a little spin on the holiday and what it's really like, you know, for the men. And one guy told me today, he said, I go to the store as many times as I'm asked to go to the store because I want to eat.
Oh,
my goodness, I had a ball. That was at 9 o'clock this morning. He said, I want to eat, okay? So I was like, okay, brother, okay.
Well, so, you know that's interesting because I think that that's probably, to be honest with you, I know there are men out there that love and thoroughly enjoy the holidays, but it's interesting the people that you talk to about it, and maybe it is a one-sided conversation. I don't know, but. The thing for me about the holidays is not so much the let me look in this moment to see what it is for me, because I know that that one of the things that I don't like about the holiday is that it's so commercial.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the things that I don't like about it, and I think that and that's one of the reasons why I enjoy Kwanzaa, because Kwanzaa kind of takes it to a different level, because Kwanzaa looks at a spiritual aspect of it more so. Now, yes, you know, the whole Christmas thing is. With the birth of Christ and so on and so forth, although a lot of the information that I have read is that it's not necessarily his actual birthday. So, you know, there's a lot of controversy about that. But the thing about that I would say is that Kwanzaa talks about principles inside a community, and.
Mm-hmm.
And as a way of sharing those principles in a fun way that kind of opens people up. And the thing that I loved about Kwanzaa was that we used to do Kwanzaas at the Area Center in New York, the New York Landmark Center. And,
uh-huh.
Of course, most of the people didn't know much about Kwanzaa. And to be honest with you, before we did it, I didn't know much about Kwanzaa. So
okay.
I was in the discovery of it because we were putting that on. People of African Descent Empowerment Group was putting that on at Landmark, and Landmark didn't know anything about it. Landmark is, and so we, you know, had people come in and come into our space because we had actually developed a space of community. So Kwanzaa was very much a fit for that. and I enjoy that. Because one of the things about Kwanzaa is not really about the gifts, but it's about the sharing and inside a community. So that's an aspect of it that I prefer, as opposed to the a lot of decorating and putting up lights and my memory of that as a child coming up was that it was always a pain in the butt. And I've actually shared this story with a couple people, but we were one of the first blacks in our neighborhood, and we had we refer to them as a Christmas tree, but they're actually I can't even call the name of the kind of tree it is. But
the evergreen?
Evergreen. We had an evergreen in our front yard. So my father would actually decorate the evergreen, put some lights on it, and so on and so forth. And some people in the neighborhood would come by and cut the wires. And, and I didn't get this till recently, because they always used to mumble and say they cut the damn thing again or whatever. But when I look back, it's like, that was their way of kind of getting, unmarrying his Christmas. So I know that he used to do that. He used to put the lights up and of course, he'd be on the ladder and I'd be helping him on the ladder, getting the stuff off the tree and we didn't do too much in the windows and stuff, but that was the big thing that we would do. And then of course my mother would prepare the Christmas tree. Probably up until I was about 15 or 16 when she became a Jehovah's Witness. And of course Jehovah's Witnesses don't put up trees and do all the decorating and so on and so forth. So I had, and I think I lost my aversion to Santa Claus very early on. So I think about 8 or 9, I knew that there was no Santa Claus. So that kind of, I don't know if that dampened my spirits around Christmas or not.
I still believe in Santa Claus, Glenn. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't be telling me that there ain't no Santa Claus.
I hear you, baby. I hear you.
I used to say, people's parents just tell them that because they've just been bad and they weren't getting nothing. So, but just, I do see that we have some callers, and if you have a comment or a question or you'd like to share a story or a song, press the number 1 on your phone and it'll raise your hand and we will open your mic. So that's really, really interesting. When I was growing up, the block clubs used to have these like contest almost, whose block would be decorated the best,
Okay.
And
okay.
I mean, every block would be, people would just get in their cars and just drive through different neighborhoods and just look at the decorations. Not like that much more. Sometimes you get 3 or 4 people on a block now, but when I was growing up, everybody's house was decorated. Everybody had a tree, And the block club decided, like, if there was going to be a light fixture in each lawn or some kind of something, but it was the same for every house on that block. And always the best decorated house in the city of Chicago was the Barrett Sisters. You know the gospel group, the Barrett Sisters?
No, I'm not. I'm actually not familiar with them.
Okay. Well, they're a real famous gospel group right here out of Chicago. And the sisters actually, two of them live next door to each other. And so their houses, one of them was married to a man who collected toys and lights. And he would fill their yard with these different lights and these different toys. And there would just be, I mean, it's probably still like that. There'll be cars just lined up, just driving by to see these two houses because they're right next to each other. But they are lit up. Lots and lots of lights and toys and trees decorated and, you know, all of that. And this was actually a man who, it was the husband who I was told, you know, actually purchases. He goes all around and purchases these toys and gets them from different places and puts them in the yard, you know. But there are some people who really, really go way, way out on Christmas, you know, for different things, for different reasons and whatever. I notice here people are talking about putting up their trees early. Like some people, the day after Thanksgiving, some people December 1st, you know. It just seems like people are more in the, you know, getting into the spirit earlier this year than before. I'm hearing people talk about it. We're going tree shopping tomorrow. And my sister and a friend of ours who sings with us, the three of us, we've kind of made it an annual thing where we go shop for my sister's tree because she has the big house where we all have Christmas dinner. And because of the grandbaby being born last year, she decided she needed a big tree. So we got this, it must have been 8-foot tree last year. It may have been 9 foot. I don't know. I think her ceilings are 12, so it's probably 9 feet or 10 feet, something like that. We got last year, and we'll decorate, you know. But it was a live tree, so we're going to get another one tomorrow. So it's interesting. I love the holiday. I just love it. It's a lot of partying, you know, a lot of celebration, a lot of oneness, you know, and I think that's what I enjoy. That's what I liked about Kwanzaa as well. You know, Kwanzaa is it's really a coming together. And then there's things for you to learn, you know, the principles that you mentioned and everything. And it always makes you think, you know, Kwanzaa always puts you in that frame of mind. Am I doing like as much as I can do? Like, really, am I giving, am I serving, you know, am I sharing, that kind of thing, you know, the Kwanzaa celebrations. But our call-in number for those people who are listening via the Internet, our call-in number is 646-716-9827, 646-716-9827. And again, if you have a comment or a question or you'd like to share, press the number one button on your phone, and it'll raise your hand. Glenn?
Thank you. You know, I'm actually wondering now, you know, talk about unpredictable results. You know, I'm wondering I often have these conversations with myself that, you know, that Christmas I'm like, you know, Scrooge. Like I'm Bah Humbug. And so, you know, one of the things that I noticed inside of that conversation is that that Kwanzaa has allowed me to be outside of that. So I'm just, you know, so I'm just kind of, it's kind of interesting. It's kind of interesting, and I'm noticing it for myself and noticing, you know, what I say to myself about, or what are my thoughts about the holidays, because I enjoy looking at trees. You know, I enjoy the beauty that they offer. You know, I've gone to Rockefeller Center several times, and anytime I have out-of-town guests that come in around Christmas time, that's one of the places that I make sure that I take them to see the, you know, Rockefeller Center and the people skating and so on and so forth. But it's just something about the, my personal experience of it for myself. You know, we've got to keep looking at that. You know, it's like, what is that about? Because I'm not that excited about it. And, you know, and so one of the things that I noticed around myself right now, the last couple of years, I haven't had a lot of money to spend on Christmas. But even when I've had, you know, excess money to spend on Christmas, I noticed I really wasn't that hyped about it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's one of those things that, I don't know, it seems like it lasts too long. you know, and there's just a whole lot of hoopla about it. You know what I'm wondering, and maybe this is what is going on with it for me, but it's, I don't always get that they're, that people are in the spirit of Christmas. You know, there's a particular spirit of Christmas that I experienced as a child coming up that I don't experience anymore as an adult. And I don't know if it's the changing of the times or myself changing, or, you know, but what it is about that relationship to the holiday. You know, there's something that's changed for me, and so I'm not real clear what I'm just not sure. So I mean, this is interesting for me because I get to look for myself to see what is the possibility of altering my relationship to the holiday period, the holiday season. So, you know, that's something certainly for me to look at and to notice.
You know, I was just thinking about what you were saying, and I love giving gifts. You know, when I was traveling a lot and, you know, bringing in a lot of money, I used to spend a lot of money on Christmas. I mean, there was no limit to what I would spend. I would buy people whatever I thought they wanted. I mean, whatever I thought they wanted. I purchased leather suits. You know, it just didn't matter. If you wanted it, I would buy it. And there was no, you know, like I didn't have a budget for Christmas. It was just like I was Santa Claus. Okay. I was Santa Claus.
Uh-huh.
And that was fun. I enjoyed that. I mean, I really did because I'm a shopper. So I would look. Oh, my God, I was just shocked. Spent a lot of time in Bloomingdale's, you know,
just looking for that perfect outfit for someone, or that perfect New Year's Eve dress. I always like to buy my niece a dress for New Year's Eve, you know. And, you know, just different things like that I knew somebody wanted or, you know, or they would use. During those years where I didn't have money, because there were years where I didn't have any money to spend on Christmas, I would think about things that I could make, or I can even remember one year just going to the dollar store, because to me, Christmas is a time for giving. So whatever you can give, you know, or whatever I could give, as long as it was a gift, I would get it. And it didn't matter to me if it was from the dollar store or if it was from Bloomingdale's, you know, just that it was a gift. And I shouldn't say it didn't matter, because it really did. But I, you know, I learned that it was about giving more so than the gift. So at first it did bother me. And then I learned that it's just a gift, you know. And I spent a lot of time looking, like really shopping. If I had $100, for instance, and the same group of people that I had to spend money on, like if it was 15 people, some gifts had to be under $10, you know. And it was amazing how I could still find those good gifts for under that amount of money. It was like I would just challenge myself to find something nice for the amount of money that I had, you know. You know, but for me, it's about giving. It's about sharing. I don't cook on Christmas. I might make, and that's what I was going to ask as one of my questions for tonight, to see what women do, what men do, basically what men do. But like I don't cook. Now I will sometimes, when I didn't have a lot of money, I would make pies and give pies as gifts, like sweet potato pies, and give those as gifts. And I've done that, you know, some years. But I don't cook. My sister does just about all of the cooking. And she really likes it that way. And, you know, but everybody helps. We help do everything. We help make the rolls. We help, you know, make whatever's left to make when we get there. You know, everybody chips in, and we chip in on the cleanup and all of that stuff. But depending on how many children we have in the family, you know, some years we only buy for the children. Other years, you know, we'll buy for everybody. I guess it's just economics, what people have. So.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because one of the things that that comes up for me is the gift giving, and like yourself, I always enjoyed buying gifts, but I found it to be confronting and just very, you know, searching for that perfect gift, you know, because for me, if the gift got returned, I messed up. That was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the payoff was that I'd almost want to just give out money, so I wouldn't have to deal with figuring out what it is that they wanted.
Oh, okay.
And I know, you know, like, of course, my daughter's like, all right, we're going Christmas shopping.
Oh.
And so my daughter's like, okay, If you go in this store, she come out with some stuff. Then you go in the next store, she come out with some stuff. Then you go to the next store, she come out with stuff. So it was like, so she was clear what she was getting for Christmas. It wasn't like it was a surprise.
Right.
But for the rest of the family, it always seemed like it started being hard. It started being work, and I think that's part of the dilemma for me that had it had me kind of go south about it, because I get a sense that I really wasn't engaged, you know. Was no longer engaged, and then when we did Kwanzaa in the 90s, that kind of re-engaged me for a little bit, but it didn't keep me fully engaged, because I haven't done a Kwanzaa probably in about 7 or 8 years, except for on the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot different. I think Jerry and I did a Kwanzaa show.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago. So, this is the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. If you'd like some information about our upcoming annual event, which is going to be in Ottawa, Canada, the first weekend in August, please go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. We're going to have a fantastic time. We always have a fantastic time at the annual events, but we're going to have a fantastic time this August, because we're going to be in Ottawa, Canada. And if you haven't been to Canada and you haven't specifically been to Ottawa, you definitely want to check out Ottawa and see what's happening there. Also, want to just let you know the registration information is there. We also have some other events that you can check out on the summit page as well. Again, the website is www.blacksummit.org. So there's a lot of information there. We've got the declaration, the purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So that purpose is also there, visible. And, of course, we haven't talked about it yet, but the question, we have a question that we engage in. The question is, what is available when I notice my trigger, be with what is, and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled? So it's more than a mouthful, but I got to tell you that this question is a three-parter, because it has you notice your trigger, and trigger is one of the distinctions of the International Black Summit, and the trigger is something that you're unable or unwilling to be with, that has you go in automatic pilot. And so when you notice that you're in a trigger, about to be triggered, or deep in your trigger, you have the opportunity to be with what is. That's the second part of it, be with what is. So whatever is occurring is what you want to be with, rather than what's not occurring, or what should be occurring, or what you'd like to be occurring, or what you want to be occurring, but to be with what is occurring. And then trust that provides you access to your vision fulfilled. So it kind of says that your trigger is pointing to something, and whatever you're being with is inside of that vision fulfilled, and so you want to do the work to keep tracking that. And I got to tell you, that's been a real interesting one for me this year, being with what is. So that's some of the information that's at the website, and we certainly invite you to go take a look. It's a social website, so you can register and become a member, and you can post your events, your activities, your birthday, and it's not quite as fancy as Facebook, but it gives you an opportunity to do some of the same kinds of things. So we invite you to go there and to do that, and the annual event is going to be August 1st to August 4th. 2013. So, again, we invite you to go there. We've got some people in the chat room. If you'd like to call in and speak live on the air, our number is 646-716-9827. So certainly would welcome you to do that and to make that happen. If you'd like to get in on a piece of this conversation, share what's going on with yourself. And the topic for tonight is what men really think about the holidays. So this is the conversation we're engaged in. I just saw somebody flash on and flash off for a second here.
Yeah, I did too.
In the Atlanta area. So come on back. We've got some slots open for you, and we've got two callers that are on the line that if you'd like to speak, press one, and we can bring you onto the air, and you can comment on what we've discussed, and you may want to share what your thoughts are about the holiday as well. So certainly you can do that. Back to you, Henrietta. Anything for you about that?
No, I've never been to Ottawa.
You've never been to Ottawa?
Never.
Ottawa is this quaint town in Canada that has this river that runs through the middle of town, and you've got these walkways on either side of the river. So you've got these walkways and walking parks that virtually are line the river. And you've got tennis courts, you've got places to ride your bike, you've got places to walk, you've got places to... you know, a lot of outdoor activity, which when you think about it, it's Canada. It's cold up in Canada. What you're doing all of outdoor activities, but it really is very, very beautiful, and it's really lovely in the summertime. One of the times Orin and I have gone out for walks, you know, and we'll walk for an hour, hour and a half or so. I think I went on a walk by myself for about a two-hour walk just along the river. And it's just lovely. It's just a lovely place. You know, of course, Canada is quaint, and people are a lot different than the United States. Very similar. But it's, you know, again, very very interesting place anyway. Say again?
No, I was saying, I know the people are very nice, you know, who come to the summit from Ottawa. They're nice and they're fun. And I noticed that about everybody who comes from that area.
Oh, they're wonderful. Now, most of the people, interestingly, most of the people that come to the summit from Ottawa are West Indian. So you've got you got the cluster of the Jamaicans and the Guyanese. Not too many Trini up there that come to the summit, but there's a lot of Trini. There's a lot of West Indians in Canada in general, Toronto and Ottawa primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Not primarily, but I mean they've got very big. Populations of West Indian folks participating. So anyway, that's a little bit about Ottawa for you all out there, and you know, it's an opportunity to engage in some relationships and alter some conversations and communicate, have some communications available to people who. Who you don't know. you may not know.
Okay, but Glenn, I'm going to ask you the questions.
Uh-oh. You going to put me on the hot seat?
Yeah.
You sure I can handle it? You sure I can handle it on air?
You can handle it. You can. You can handle it. You got to represent the men. You're the only man on the air tonight, so.
I know.
Look, and we got to give the people what we told them we were going to give them, so you are the main.
Okay. All right, I'll represent.
Okay. So, what is the thing you like least about the holiday?
What do I like least about the holidays?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, so for me, it is the commercialism, you know,
that it's
really not about the spirit of Christmas or, well, let me expand it, Hanukkah, Christmas,
mm-hmm.
Kwanzaa.
Right.
It's about what am I going to get or what do I have to get somebody?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So that's the least I find about it.
Okay. Have you ever celebrated Hanukkah?
I have not. Okay. And from what I understand, it's very similar to Kwanzaa, interestingly enough, because you light a candle every night. I don't know if they fast or not, but they do give gifts out. And so from what I understand, Kwanzaa was similar in its depiction of the lighting of the candles and giving gifts every night. For the Kwanzaa's only, Kwanzaa I believe is 8 days. And, Hanukkah is 8 days, I believe, and Kwanzaa is 7. But I don't quote me on that.
Okay. So, when you celebrate the holiday, do you do any of the cooking?
Well, you know, I love to cook, and I do, and I have done cooking in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I'm become the official turkey cooker. Although that's kind of interesting now these last 2 years because I don't eat turkey anymore. So I haven't actually cooked them in the last 2 years. But yes, I cook. I'm responsible. I have cooking responsibilities, and I enjoy cooking. So that part I don't mind at all. I can take that on. So yeah. So that part I enjoy. And
mm-hmm.
and to the brother that you spoke to in church today,
uh-huh.
he would enjoy it better if he knew how to cook and wouldn't be regulated to, being at the whim. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that my mother taught me very early on is that, learn to cook for yourself so that
right.
you can, so that you're not dependent. So that was one of the things that I thought was a great thing that my mother always taught me. So yes, I don't mind cooking at all.
Okay. Do you put a limit on your gift purchases, or do you just buy whatever? Whatever you want, no matter what it costs, you just buy it.
Well,
or
It depends on what I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
When I've had unlimited budgets, I've basically tried to get what I thought the person would appreciate, and
mm-hmm.
so I didn't have a limit on that. These last couple of years, I've been on a budget, so
uh-huh.
from a budget standpoint, I've been forced to be creative, be very creative.
what are some of the, like when you say be creative, I have two questions. One is, like, when you say creative, you know, like I talked about the year I bought all my gifts at the dollar store, you know, and that makes you very creative. If you go to a particular dollar store where everything is actually a dollar, then you just look around the store, you know how many gifts you have to buy, and you know that's how much it's going to cost, you know. And it really does make you creative because you walk around and you really look at things differently. But how do you do that? You know, how do you determine, you know, like what do you mean when you say creative?
Well, sometimes, and one of the things that we did, we actually had some shows on this. We actually looked at low budget gifts,
mm-hmm.
and one of the gifts that I remember that I thought was pretty interesting. I must admit I didn't actually do it, but I thought it was a very thoughtful gift. Is put together some music that a person would like. And cut them a CD and make that available to them. So that's something that, you know, would basically cost you time. So there are opportunities and things that you can do that would take time to do, again, that the person would appreciate. You know, I always like to do, since I'm somewhat of a gardener, depending on where they were located, I might be able to do some things in their garden, you know, and setting it up for the spring, or clearing it, or, you know, doing things like, you know, doing yard work. Because I know some people just don't enjoy doing yard work. And so, you know, so when I look at gifts, you know, those are the kinds of things that I look to be able to do that are don't cost money per se, but time,
mm-hmm.
so you know
uh-huh.
that I can contribute.
My other question was about we were talking about time. That's what I was thinking about was time. Have you ever just spent time with someone as a gift, you know? Or have you ever considered doing that as a gift?
Oh, sure. One of the things that, you know, a lot of people don't know about, but I give massages. I've been trained in reflexology in New Jersey. I don't have a license. But I have a Reiki table and a massage table. And for those of you who don't know, Reiki is a hands-on healing. And so I've done that as gifts. Who doesn't like a great massage? Who doesn't like to, have some hands-on healing done to them? So there are a variety of things that people can do. You can create a gift called "I'm going to rub your shoulder," and a full massage for, you know, half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's a really good gift.
You know, or for example, run a bubble bath and offer a massage or a facial or something, or, you know, as part of the package, either at the same time or a later date. So, I mean, there's lots of different things. Or cook a meal, cook a special meal as a gift that they can collect at a future point in time.
Awesome.
You know. I mean, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that can be done with love and care to contribute to someone, someone's day, someone's face, you know, rubbing their feet, you know, foot massage.
Mm-hmm. Now, these gifts are for, I wasn't specifically talking, and you might not be either, about someone that you're involved with, but these are gifts, I mean, you would give that gift to, like, your friends and family members?
Yeah, I mean, you could give them gifts, sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prepare a meal. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a loved one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone that you're in relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, and especially if you feel like you got a little pizzazz with the cooking, you know, you might be able to, you know, people appreciate that. Or you
yeah.
know, like I make my special fish cakes. So that
mm-hmm.
might be worth a gift. You know, box of those. You know,
right.
10 of those. You know, people would snap up on that.
They would. I wish I could figure out how you could overnight them. My family would love those. I mean, they would love those.
Oh, would they?
Oh, yes. They would love them. They like spice. I'm the only one who does them.
Oh, okay.
You know,
I'll have to take a look at that.
I feel like the flavor of that, you know, I would want mine without the heat, but then everybody else would love them exactly the way you had them.
Okay.
You know, that's a good gift. That's a good business to go into, you know.
Yeah, I actually enjoy making fish cakes. You know, I just started making them this year, but they've been... One of my family friends from Barbados, my mother's, my sister's godmother actually has been making them for 40 years. I can remember eating those suckers. We've got a caller, 770-875. If you want to get on the air, press 1. I think I know who you might be. So if you'd like to get in on this conversation, just press 1 and, we'll get you on the air.
Right.
So tonight's call is about, we've got about 6 minutes left, and we're talking about what men really think about the holidays. So what are the questions you have, Henrietta?
Well, my question is, what do you really think about the holidays? I mean, is this something that you could do without?
Actually, I would, if people could actually get into the spirit of the holiday, like authentically,
mm-hmm.
I think it could be one of the best times of the year, but there's so much nastiness and other stuff that gets in the way, the commercialism, that it actually turns me off. But I think that the symbolism and what it stands for is the perfect thing to have. I think that we just don't celebrate it correctly.
Authentically, maybe, yeah. Yeah.
We've got a listener, 770-875. Go ahead. You're live on the air. Oh, what happened? Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. You're live on the air.
Yeah. I want to say, you know, happy holidays to your staff. You know, like what you're saying as far as making original items, you know, food, you know, and that's a good gift. You know, massaging is good. You know, anything that can be done to help, you know, a person's life, you know, more enhanced, you know, health-wise, you know, because these days there's so much garbage going around, you know, disease, cancer, and then I've learned a whole lot of stuff, you know, in the past years as far as health. And so I think that's needed more than anything else these days, you know, rather than, you know, like going out there and buying commercial gifts and having having an increase in smiles on the face of the owners, you know, that's putting the gifts out, you know, the store owners, the business owners, you know. So, you know, there's more to it these days. You know, it should be more about loving people and giving them real gifts, you know, because it's been a lot of that for years, you know. And that's where I look at stuff right now. Because a whole lot of people, you know, like going the wrong way, that's never come back. That's, you know, as far as that's never coming back, I'm talking about dying, you know? So,
absolutely. And I just want everybody to know that this man who's talking, who's a very, very good friend of mine, Leary, from out of Atlanta, is he makes these carrot cakes to die for. He's making his own custom-made pizza, and then if you go to another direction, he's making denim clothing and these backpack and bags to die for. So you talk about a gift given and talk about somebody who can prepare something exquisite that's one of a kind. You're talking to this brother right here who can do that.
Well, Larry, this is Henrietta. How do people, because we only have a few minutes left, but how will people see your wares and the things that you make? How can they, do you have a website or can they email you or something?
Well, you know, at this point, I don't have a website. It's been in the works right now, as a matter of fact. You know, the email can be done. You can reach my email. But at this point in time, I'm just making a move right now with, I'm merging with somebody who's even better than me as far as fashion and being creative, who's out there in the world running around and not being considered, you know, as far as craft and skill. I mean, I'm talking about somebody who's a creator of designs you see people wearing, you know, Abercrombie, you know, and, I mean, major labels, then put it like that, you know. And so we're getting ready to get together, you know, and do a big thing. And so the website is not up yet, you know, at this point in time. But as far as my dear friend and homie, you know, he can always get in contact with me. Anything I create, he knows about it. And that's how him and I work. You know, I want y'all to know, right, I'm proud of him for what he's doing as far as, you know, relating to the world, you know. And he's truly doing a good job. And I respect him. And I respect everybody that's on the staff, too, because everything is needed these days, you know? It's, you know, the way you're doing your jobs, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
thank
I wish
you.
Everybody
yeah,
a bon fire holiday.
Maybe you'll come back on another show and talk more about what you do.
Oh, no, you know, that would be a problem. You know, like, first of all, I appreciate you being on the show, you know?
Okay.
Yes, indeed. You know? And, Obama being in office a second term, it's really for entrepreneurs to come out and do their thing, you know what I mean? Because,
yeah.
You know, there's a whole lot of entrepreneurs out there who, like, got massive skills that need to be seen, you know? So, I, you know, encourage everybody to it. That's what you got to do, you know. Bring it out.
Yeah. I really get that same message, that it's time for people just, that one little thing that you wanted to do, do that thing. Don't worry about it being a big corporation or whatever. Whatever one little thing you have to do. I was saying on an earlier program that the last time Tyler Perry was in town, that was request he made of the audience was to start your own business. You know, whatever kind of business you want, start it. Because that, he said, nobody can fire you from, nobody can take away from you. You know, start your own business. And he's really pushing that across the country as well. But thanks, Larry, for, you know, sharing that information. It's time for us to come to a close. It's 8 o'clock in Chicago, 9 o'clock in New York and Atlanta, East Coast. But we thank you. We will be celebrating the holidays the entire month. We'll be celebrating the inauguration in January. We will we'll have different programs for you to call in and share your holiday stories and your songs, your favorite songs, and all of that, as we do every year. So thank everybody for calling in and listening. Remember, Ottawa, August 2nd through the 4th, 5th, excuse me, 2, 3, 4, 5, right, the 2nd through the 5th, the annual event is in Ottawa, Canada. Next year, you can go to blacksummit.org and register for the event. And we will see you soon. Glenn, have a wonderful week.
Thanks, you too.
Okay.
Peace and blessings. Good night, and God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Yes, and be safe.
You too, my brother.
All right, take care, y'all.
All right.
All right, the best.